Look who's here.
Look who's here.
The man, the myth, the legend.
How we started?
Ron Burgundy.
Let's see. We don't always get him to leave his house, folks, but when we do, he comes to the studio.
There you go.
Yeah.
The closer your lips are to the mic, the better.
Hello.
Oh.
Test.
Oh, can you turn your headphones up? Can
I lose? I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
All the way up.
Test. There you go.
You got it?
Okay.
Yeah?
Yep.
Gonna make sure that we,
Got it.
Right. Good. All right, guys, you ready?
Ready. You ready?
Ready, Freddy.
Michelle Zuno.
Yes.
Are you excited about who's in the studio?
I am. I'm always excited for who has come to visit. Always.
Always good times.
Oh. I don't even...
I was like, if you're not going to break the ice, I'll break the ice.
I don't even be in the show here.
I don't even know.
Get ready to rumble.
I'm like, hey, man, do I pop up a firecracker? What do I do, man? Like, come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lewis Love, everybody. All right. My name is Freddie Rivera, joined with the one and only on the blue mic, Michelle Zuno.
Hi. Hey.
And welcome to Radio Flyer. This is the first episode of the year. And we are ready to rock and roll. Man, can we shout out Jeannie Prado in Austin, Texas? She shouted your hair out tonight because she was on Instagram. Aw,
thank you so much.
First off, Lewis Love, you are somewhat of a celebrity on social media and in the IE, which is the Inland Empire, where we're recording the show from in Rancho Cucamonga. Through all the radio stations that I've worked at, I have always brought you with me. And a lot of people want to know, where did it all begin? What's the story? Let's take it back, because Lewis, you're a good storyteller. I'm gonna let you tell the story of how you and I met.
It all started with DJing. I think it started with a girl, though, right?
It always starts with the girl. Hema?
Yeah, I think
we were both kind of like seeing Hema.
Yeah, we're both dating this girl in high school, and it wasn't even a relationship or anything.
No, it was just yeah.
At the same time.
I think she even had a boyfriend or something like that.
Yeah, he was like
older than us, could beat both of us up. Yeah, so he's going to one high school. I'm going to one high school, and we're both dating the same girl.
You guys are rival DJs at rival high schools.
Yeah.
Trying to be with the same girl.
We're,
and now you're besties? How did that even work?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. I wish it was a nice little fairy tale like that.
But it all started out
that way. Yeah, it all started out that way. So I heard your name through the grapevines, you know? Lo and behold, one day I'm DJing in my bedroom. You know, I think I had like my Geminis and my little realistic mixer. And it was on the landline.
Yeah.
I get a call. Hello? So this little squeaky voice.
Hello.
Hello. You know, and all you hear, and this guy had a way squeakier voice. He's like, hey, you may not know who I am. I go, okay, who are you? This is Freddy. You might know me as DJ Froggy. And I see you're talking to my girl. I'm like, okay. And you're like, Hema, that's my girl. Now listen here, buddy. No, not just a typical kid. I'm the kid that's gonna blow your house up. Now you don't want to mess with me, and you don't want to mess with my girl.
But hold on. This phone call turns into something else.
Yeah. Then I guess you're hearing that I was playing some records in the background. So you're DJ, huh? Me
like,
too.
And like a day later, I'm over at his house.
And then he's like, and then towards the end of the call, he's like, well, you seem pretty cool. I guess I won't blow you up after all.
Oh my God. Did we just become best friends?
Yeah.
But it was like a community thing, though. When you found somebody at that age who also DJed and they were the same age as you, it was a bonding. It was like.
Yeah, because back in the days, we didn't have laptops. It was just you had a bunch of kids, you either had the turntables and you had the records or you didn't.
We've known each other for a long time. Let's fast forward to Hollywood. Let's fast forward to when I was living in Los Feliz, right?
So I was practically living with you like half the week, you know, from Thursday to Sunday.
You were over at least two or three times a week.
Two or three times.
We called it Gentleman Thursdays.
Yeah.
Gentleman Thursdays evolved from downtown L.A. to Hollywood.
Oh, man.
And somehow you or we discovered good times at Davy Wayne's.
Oh, yeah. Good times at Davy Wayne's, where they basically...
To the person who's listening right now who doesn't live in SoCal, who doesn't know Davy Wayne's, describe what Davy Wayne's is.
First of all, if you were to walk across the place, it looks like a yard sale. It's just like an open garage.
Yeah.
And there's a fridge, like, you know, just like how any garage you always has a fridge. You know, it looks like a man cave, basically, right?
Yeah.
With the record players and all that and the beers and all that. And then there's a fridge. You open up the fridge. And once you open up the fridge, you walk up those stairs. And when you're walking up those stairs, you're going to go back into time. Time where you wanted to rock some bell bottoms, where you want to grow your afro.
They played the 70s music. It was a 70s.
It was all 70s.
Nightclub.
Yeah.
And it looked like a house.
Yeah.
This is how we discovered it. One time I was going to the gym there at LA Fitness, and I see a big old line across the street.
Yeah.
And it's like, where and I'm are like, they going?
It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday. So I'm like, I call up Lewis. Lewis, do you know what I'm seeing right here?
Yeah.
And I tell Lewis, Lewis, there's a big crowd. Investigate.
Yeah, and you're listening to the music outside. I think I hear David Bowie or something.
Yeah,
you're like tripping out. Yeah. Like,
whoa, this is cool.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if this song doesn't remind you of Davy Wayne's, I don't know what does.
Hit it. Oh, yeah. They would play this song before 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're pre-gaming, that's what their type of music they're playing.
But it was cool because the crowd there was very, it was the in crowd. It was very, you were part of the scene.
Yeah.
Everybody was either had a job in Hollywood or trying to get a job in Hollywood.
It was definitely a hipster crowd for sure.
Our Gentleman Thursdays evolved and I call up Lewis and I'm like, so there's this thing called after parties. Can we further investigate, Lewis?
Yeah, and I remember getting that call and like an after party. You were like past 2 o'clock, they serve alcohol. You're like, yeah, let's go. Once you get to know people, they start to invite you and open up. Right. Like, hey, you gonna come with us or what? Where, you know, where are you guys going? Oh, we're gonna go to after hours. And I think that's when we discovered, what was that place called?
So it was the
There's
house.
There's a few of them.
Next to the Exterminator building. That was the first one we went to.
Yeah, it was by the Exterminator. Yeah, that was like.
That
blew
house,
my mind.
That house was right off the 101 freeway. If you ever drove in Hollywood to the 101, you see the big exterminator building, building, right there. Okay,
that's like an iconic sign.
Okay. Yeah, it had a long wooden fence, so you couldn't see really over unless you went through the door. You'd walk up the stairs because you know everything over there is on a hill. So you walk up the stairs, and there's a bouncer up there at top, and he goes, "How did you hear about this place? Who invited you?" And you would tell him, and he let you in, and you walk into it's literally. A bungalow. It's a house. It's a house.
Way in the back?
Yes. It's a lot with a house in it. And then you walk into this house, and they're playing rockabilly music. They're playing...
Yeah.
What
like
is
they
it?
They slide over a door. It looked like a barn door style door,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And you go in, and it's like a place polluted with smoke.
Oh, yeah, because everyone's smoking cigarettes.
Everybody's smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
And there's a bartender.
One random Tuesday or Thursday, we're there like at, you know, 4 a.m. Me and Lewis, I think we're walking out or walking in. I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
And... We ran into my intern.
Oh, man.
But she was so embarrassed when she saw me. She's like, and she goes, I don't come here very often. So we began to see
a pattern.
And
a pattern.
Lewis, and it took a while to see this pattern, Michelle, because Hollywood is a lot like Las Vegas, except even more calculated. Mm-hmm. Being the fact that when you go to Las Vegas, you know it's not real life because you'll eventually come back home after the weekend's over, right? But Hollywood, there's always something going on Monday through Sunday, and there's always an aura of energy, high energy in the air. When you're living in Los Feliz or Hollywood or whatever, we eventually saw a pattern. Lewis, you can describe this better than I can.
Sure. And which perspective are we talking?
What I like about Lewis is Lewis is able to see both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And give both sides.
Well, yeah, it took time, you know, because again, we were young, we're new to it, so we don't know. But it took time, and then we're developing these adventures and making these memories and meeting these new people, and then it's the repeat again. And like, okay, I remember that type of person. I remember that guy.
Yeah,
you know, you get to learn everybody is trying to be somebody that they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's there to be an IG model. Somebody's there to be a musician, an actor, it could be a comedian. It was mostly music and mostly artists we met, right?
Acting.
And actors. Yeah. All had a similar background. All sponsored by their parents. None of them are from California. None of them were born and raised here. They sell their parents the American dream.
Give me an example of how that.
It's so true.
Nobody has money in Hollywood.
They all move because they hear Hollywood and they all say, "I'm moving to Hollywood to make something."
These people get their parents, "Mom, move me to Hollywood. I'm gonna make it." You know, they'll show them their one or two songs that they made in their bedroom, and that I'm gonna blow it up and make it. You know, and so you have tons of these people out there that get sponsored by their family, their parents. You know, that have some money and. You know, out of state, and they move them out there.
Yeah.
But what are these kids really doing? They're partying. Yeah, they're networking.
Partying.
Partying.
But see, that's the thing. The term networking, what does it really mean, you know?
Well, I'll tell you this one. The ones that are really working are not out networking.
That's what we learned, is that the ones who are really successful, the ones who really have the good gigs in Hollywood or in the entertainment industry aren't even at this party.
No, because they're working so much during the day that they don't have time to do
that. Yeah, they don't have time to go after hours.
They're up early. They're studying their craft.
See, yeah. And that's why it's more sneakier than Vegas, because you have a reason to be at the party, because I'm working. I want to network. I might meet somebody who's important to me. So you feed yourself this mental note of, I need to always be out because I always need to be shaking hands and meeting people. But that eventually, quickly actually, turns into self-serving your own crazy party life.
Yeah, and it just becomes a repeat of just partying all the time. You network? Because I can't pinpoint that what I just described on everyone. There is some good people that are doing some things. You just happen to run into them the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
But majority... You know, if you just say, "Hey, man, put your hand in the jar, see what you pull out," you're gonna get what I just described to you. As far as you're gonna get the people that are just trying to sell you on the dream that they haven't done yet. You know, and they're trying to. They might have a music video. They might have had a role or something. But
there is a reason why you and I were so well liked and we stood out.
I'll tell you right away is that we weren't trying. We weren't trying
to have fun.
We weren't trying to be anybody. We weren't trying to sell them anybody. We're like, "Hey, we could DJ, we could host. We're funny, and we're a good time. Do you want to hang out? Cool."
Yeah.
And we just happened to be dragged into different networks of all walks of life, really, in Hollywood. But at the same time, we weren't trying to sell them on nothing. Yeah.
Do you think that we did it too much?
Of course. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, if you ask anybody who partied in Hollywood, who was in that scene, they all did it. Everybody's guilty. You know, just some people don't know how to give it up.
I will say, for everyone that's listening that has not partied in Hollywood, so especially for people out of state or out of country, it is as fun as it sounds, as the rumors are. It is as fun as you think it is. However, it could eat you up.
There was one party that we somehow got into that stood out, and it was an Oscars party, an official Oscars party in the Hollywood Hills. How did that even happen?
I think me and you were invited to a few Oscar parties that night.
But that was the best one.
But the best one that we wanted to, we weren't on that list.
Right.
You know, like the big one.
Yeah.
Like we needed to be on that list.
Because we had to take a shuttle from the bottom of Hollywood Hills. We had to park our car or Uber to there, and then there was a meetup zone, and you would wait in line, get in the shuttle, and the shuttle would take you to the mansion.
Yep, and I think one of our PR friends was hosting that one or something, but the list was just, that was done. You couldn't get on that one. That was like Hollywood Elite exclusive list, and you couldn't get on that one. And we figured out the hard way, you know, so we show up to that shuttle. We figured out, no matter who you know, we're not getting in there. And I didn't even know how I got the whole group. I don't even know how I got the whole group. This is like a group of us, too.
It was.
But we all happen to be in suits. I'm like, you know what? Follow me. Follow me. So here comes the shuttle. Just follow me. Do not look and make eye contact with nobody. Don't stop.
Yeah.
And go.
Like if you belonged in there.
Go to the shuttle like you own the shuttle. Like you need to get in that shuttle quick before those people see who you are.
Yeah.
And we did just that. Before you know it, we were the first ones inside the shuttle. We get in. We get in the back seat. We sit down. Playing it off. I'm like, okay, any minute now, that security is going to come in here. And we are outro.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And before you know it, there's a packed bus. They close it up, and we're on our way up. And I'm like, huh. And we just started cracking up.
Yeah, we literally just snuck in the bus.
They didn't even ask any questions.
No.
Yeah, and then we showed this giant mansion. We get greeted. They hand us a cocktail at the door. We went from getting, you are not going to get into this place, to hors d'oeuvre, sir.
Yeah.
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 Cocktail.
It was one of the great parties.
Yeah.
So I said for the group, I'll go to the line. I'll get us some drinks. I'll come back. And when I joined the group, it was Chanel West Coast, right?
Yeah, I was smoking a cigarette. I think she asked me for a cigarette. That's what happened.
Gotcha.
So I think she comes and hits me up, and she's like, "Oh, I'm Chanel West Coast." And I'm like, "Oh," and I'm like, "Oh yeah, ridiculousness, Rob Dyrdek, right?" I was like, "Well, I'm here with my buddy from the radio station. You want me here? That's a good contact to have." So I go, "Hey, Freddie, I introduce him. This guy, who?" Oh, there's Chanel West Coast. Who?
Well, what's funny is it happens to her a lot, and she gets pissed about it.
She is pissed.
She's been on TMZ throwing a fit before.
No kidding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you look at her videos, she's...
Watch the video of them not letting her in someplace, and she's throwing a fit at a club.
To One Oak. Yeah.
Yeah, One Oak. Yeah. She's screaming, "Do you know who I am?"
Yeah.
The famous line.
Wow.
Do you know who? They're like... No, kind of like you.
There was a lot that we did. But then eventually it got to the point where a lot of these clubs were closing down or changing or becoming something else. So that they, and then eventually...
When I noticed the L.A. Hollywood scene, it would have like its 1 or 2 year little season.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Here's what's wild about Lewis Love. And for those of you who've seen through my Instagram and you know how wild and crazy Lewis Love is, Lewis Love is like a dual personality because at night he's this crazy man who comes alive and he's the life of the party no matter which party he's at, no matter who he's in front of. But during the day, he puts on the suit and tie. Well, actually, you're suit and tie 24/7. You went to Coachella in a suit and tie.
Yeah, I mean,
occasionally the cow suit.
I like the classic style.
But during the day, Lewis Love works at an office as a mortgage broker. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm a senior mortgage banker.
Wow.
It's always been like my day job, and I was always a DJ at night, and I always kind of balanced both, and it's always worked out for me.
Do you feel like people don't know? You know, both sides of you enough?
So you're either going to know me from my professional side during the day, or you're going to know me as the Lewis Love guy.
It's either one or the other.
Usually, yeah. I usually don't incorporate both.
Right.
And it's weird. Like during the day, I'm a whole different person, whole different vocabulary, whole different persona. But when I'm off, let's go.
It's a crazy world we live in, right? I don't even have to get into it. Everybody knows already. Mm-hmm. But the question is, what is the housing market like in today's world?
The housing market right now is thriving. Right now, people are buying more than ever. People are refinancing more than ever. So the housing market, if you put any house in the market right now and it's priced right, well, even if it's not, quite frankly, it's going to be off and sold over a weekend. You know, there's people lining up just to get into a home right now.
That's true.
How it is. So interest rate right now are at a historic low. It's pretty easy to get into a home right now. You know, if you have your 2 years tax returns, some 30 days pay stubs, a minimum of 3.5% down payment, and there's a lot of down payment assistance programs out there that can help you out. If you're a veteran, you know, there's benefits. You're gonna get into a home.
Why is it so intimidating for the first time buyer?
It's intimidating because you're looking at the price tags. If you're looking at a price tag right now, your average home in Rancho Cucamonga, you're not gonna see nothing. Nothing cheaper than $550,000, $600,000
for
entry level. So for somebody who's first time, it's like, man, I just bought my first $20,000 car. Now you want me to go buy a $600,000 house? Right. That could be pretty intimidating. It's just like going from your first Honda payment to now I'm going to go and move up to my first Audi payment, you know?
Right.
You know, you adapt to it. It could be intimidating because, again, a lot of people are not educated. There's misperception.
What are the common misperceptions of, you know, buying a home or you know, owning a home?
People just believe that if they look at a $600,000 price tag or whatever it is, I would never qualify for that, you know, because they don't know how the mortgage financing world works, how the qualification process works, what the guidelines are.
So you're saying somebody who has not so good credit still has
all the time. That's the number one thing we
good
get.
Good chance of actually.
Somebody doesn't have the FICO scores, they have derogatory information on there, we'll definitely help them out and get that removed for them.
From what you've learned, what are some things that the average person can do for their own credit? I know Credit Karma helps and it gives you advice, but if somebody were to ask you, Lewis, you know, what is one major thing that a lot of people don't know or don't do that could really help their credit?
Know that no credit is better than bad credit. just always paying on time.
You said no credit is better than?
No credit is better than bad credit, because it's easy for me to give, like if somebody comes with me with no credit, it's easy for me to get you a FICO score right away.
In good standing,
to build it up. So for example, let's say your dad has good credit and you want to go ahead and get added to his credit card. Well, if your dad authorizes his credit company to put add you onto his credit card, well, now his credit is credit line and credit history is going to roll over to your credit report.
Which is what I just did for Damon when he turned 18.
Correct.
Interesting.
Correct, yeah.
So, Michelle, also, you own a home in Fontana, mm-hmm. and you've owned it for quite a while, right?
10 years.
Is it an easy process, generally speaking?
No. I mean, it's not hard. It's just long.
Yeah.
Like, at the time,
10 years
it was
ago?
Very competitive. Mm-hmm. You're bidding on 20 houses before one would even give you an offer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because it was so, at the time when I bought, everyone had a bad loan. So everybody was losing their houses.
Mm. Yeah.
So all the banks took advantage and bought them all before a person like me could buy them. But on the flip side, unfortunately, you benefit from someone else's downfall.
Yeah.
So people that were losing their homes is how I got mine. Because they got it, they were losing, a lot of people were losing their homes, so there were so many available.
Yeah, those were the foreclosure days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's when I got it for a steal. Mm-hmm. So I'm not selling my house anytime soon.
There's a growing trend in Los Angeles of people getting up and moving out of California. Mm-hmm. Las Vegas, Austin, Dallas, Phoenix. I mean, there's a giant list of people getting up and leaving LA. Why do you think that is?
Well, it starts with a variety of reasons.
There's a lot.
Not in any specific order. Taxes, number one.
Right.
We just pay too much taxes here.
Mm-hmm.
To make a lot of money in California, the opportunities are here, but you're going to pay a lot out.
Right.
So number one is taxes. Two, it's expensive. So what you're buying over here for $1 million, you know, you go buy it in another state for... you know, 200,000, mm-hmm. you know?
It's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like in Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, Texas, Texas has gotten a lot more expensive.
Cost of living is up so high in California.
We have a high state tax, you know? So you go to Texas, you don't have state tax over there. Mm-hmm. Go to Nevada, you don't have state tax over there. So a lot of people are moving to Texas and Nevada specifically for that reason. Plus, the housing market is a lot lower. The cost of living is just too much.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a third reason?
California is going downhill. You know, nobody's happy with the situation here. You know, for example, my cousin's a prime example of why he moved out of he wanted to move out of LA because the city was going downhill, and now he's moved out of the state because the state's going downhill.
But he originally wanted to move to Hollywood for a little while, right? The Hollywood Hills.
Yeah, he had a dream of retiring in Hollywood Hills. During that process, he ended up finding a house. That's what happened. He noticed, he's like, okay, so I'm going to spend this money in this house. Then I go outside of my house. And it's just chaos.
Homeless people everywhere.
There's homeless. Mm-hmm. There's graffiti. Potholes on the streets. Abandoned stores. Trash. It's just dirty. I mean, mm-hmm. he said the last straw was when some guy just literally just pulled down his pants and just took a dump right down the sidewalk, you know, right in front of him and his wife as he's driving. He was like, this is it. And the class of people, you know, it's not what it was. So his thing is, if I'm paying so much money in state taxes and property taxes on top of that, why I should be able to drive my car, you know, down the street without hitting a pothole. I should be able to go to a clean environment. I should be able to take my kids for a walk and not have to worry about some guy with a syringe on the floor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's out of control.
Yeah, it's like that everywhere in California too.
Yeah.
Is it?
Up north, it's worse.
Is it really?
Oh yeah. San Francisco is worse.
Mm-hmm. For California's case, the pandemic, our own governor and the mayor are shutting down all the businesses.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So when you shut down all the businesses, you control the business owners, you control homeowners, but you can't control homeless, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I was talking to some of my LAPD buddies, you know, they have a hard problem. It's like, yeah, you could shut down the whole world all you want, but at the end of the day, these guys who have no home are on the streets.
Do you think, from your point of view, that things are going to get better or worse?
I say worse.
I think politically, we have to have a balance.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be left or right at all. It has to be somewhere where there's a exchange of minds of both sides.
I've seen businesses, you know, even here in Rancho, where they just shut it down altogether.
Mm-hmm.
They can't survive.
Are you going to be, do you want to continue working here in the Inland Empire in Southern California?
Well, in my line of work, I work in a lot of regions. I work Orange County, I work LA, Inland Empire. I'm headquartered here. My corporate office is in Orange County, headquartered here in the IE, but I work all regions.
Yeah. Where would you move to if you decided to leave California?
Out of the country.
Back to Colombia?
Back to Colombia, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where would you, no, seriously, where would you, if you were to leave California, where would you realistically go?
Probably Colombia, Greece, or Miami.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, Miami is still in the country.
But. I know, but, I know.
I'll make
the exceptions. It's so close to Cuba.
Hey, do you want to, what is it, a jamon with a sandwich?
A problema jamon with sandwich, chico, you know? Yeah.
He sounds like he lives in Miami already. Yeah.
You do, so I was over there just a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And people were talking like that everywhere, and I'm like, Louis.
You're like, I get it. Hey, oye, chico, problema jamon.
Yep.
There was a time where Louis Love, you were beginning a campaign for yourself too. Whatever happened to Louis Love for president?
Well, I campaigned against Trump back in, what year was that?
Was it 2016 or
2016, yeah. And then again in 2020. I think it was rigged. I think I won.
You won.
I think I won. Yeah.
By a landslide.
Tell me, you threw a lot of fundraisers and a lot of people showed up.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah. Threw a lot of fundraisers. We threw a lot of events and everything, and I was promoted. And I was even, this is going to be the year of the cow suit.
You know? That's the thing. Did the cow suit help you or hurt you?
It helped me. You have the Democratic Party, you have the Republican Party, but they both have, like, what is it, the donkey or what is it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got to bring in the cow,
the
man.
Cow.
If you guys personally know Louis, you have to know the cow suit, or
the
you don't suit. Know Louis.
Yeah,
you,
the cow.
Briefly describe the cow suit.
The cow suit is something, it was actually a shock marketing idea. I think we were doing, that was back in the KGI days when we were doing the Friday Night Lights. We were doing a lot of the Friday Free Lunches. And I was like, you know what? What would be awesome an idea, a little more of a shock marketing where people would just be like, whoa, when you walk in.
Yeah, there's a cow walking in my office.
Yeah, I think it was during Halloween. I went to go pick up a Halloween costume. I saw the cow suit on the picture and I was like, how cool would that be just to get that thing, you know? Mm-hmm. I got it. It was $30. It's like the cheapest costume in the store, you know, because it's just a one piece. You throw it on and you're set. Nobody's buying a cow suit. Nobody's wearing a cow suit. So I remember the first time I wore it out to go DJ some party, and it was a hit.
Yeah.
Everybody's pulling on the udders. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to take a picture.
You remember, Michelle.
Yeah, and then
I do.
Yeah, and then the light bulb went on. I was like, dude, we're going to use this for our promos. Yeah. We're going to use this for
broadcasting. I remember when I told Rob Scorpio, who was the program director and then in 91 KGGI, and I told him about the cow suit, and he looked at me, he's like, okay, Freddie, do what you want then.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know about
it. It was a hit.
I have a question about the cow suit. Have you ever gone to pick up food from Chick-fil-A in the cow suit?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
What kind of reaction did you get from
them? Kind of reaction did you get?
People want to take pictures. I'll tell you, everything that's happened in the cow suit is it gets people want to take pictures with you. People are pulling in the udders. I got attacked by dogs.
What happened?
I was carrying food into an office.
And you were in the parking lot,
I was in the parking lot. There's somebody's loose dog and, yeah.
What kind of dog was it?
A mean one. It was a deviant one, I tell you. It had rabies and everything.
And, oh my god.
Yeah, and it was attacking me, and then that was just one of the stories, man. But it got a lot of publicity.
For sure.
Yeah. Overall it just brightened up people's days, you know, it's like, okay, some guy in a cow suit from the radio station come and dropped us off delicious lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're on the radio on top of that, like, what more do you want?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a banging idea.
Yeah.
And so it stuck. So yeah, that was the story behind the KGI cow guy.
Michelle, is there anything else that comes to mind that you would like to ask Louis? Anything, any category?
Not necessarily ask, but I do want our listeners to know that I know you were saying you started off as a DJ. That's how you guys met.
Yeah.
Louis still DJs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He still DJs events, parties. Different. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we know, because we go.
Yeah.
We go and we support Louis all the time. So he's still actively does events.
Yeah, mm-hmm. now it's going to be on a case-to-case basis, safe base.
Right. Wearing a mask.
Yes.
Yeah, wearing a mask. Yeah, because this pandemic, I tell you, definitely killed the DJ industry. I mean, it's different now. You know,
I'm
starting to see a lot of my buddies are doing like weddings and things now. But as far as events, clubs, things like that, it's gone.
What's next for Lewis?
What's next? Well, this year, because I think 2020 taught us a lot of things that we didn't even know we were capable of.
Mm-hmm.
We learning new talents, gotten closer to family.
Right.
Specifically before. Though, like what specifically are you hounding in on or working on in 2021?
As far as DJ wise, that's more on the back burner right now because again, there's not much of a market. Yeah, I could release mixes, the podcast. That's cool. That's nothing new to the table. But I'm working on growing my business, my team. More work related goals.
I always ask Lewis, like, why aren't you like in Beverly Hills? You know, like
yeah. So the Beverly Hills market is something that I'm definitely going to be tapping into. Something to talk to my team about. And we're working on. You know, probably opening up a satellite branch over there. Can't give too much information, but you know, because again, I like to show with action. Mm-hmm. I don't like to talk.
Sure,
Yeah, because a lot of the things I talk about, you know, don't happen the time that I usually want, and I notice it happens when I don't talk about it.
Isn't it wild how much we did and then everything just stopped?
Yeah. I think we've done more than the average person has seen.
Absolutely.
At least for our age anyways. I feel like the position that we were put in anyways.
We could be here for a long time, you know, just talking about, just like you said, oh, you want to talk about Davey Wayne's? I could talk about that for hours.
Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Yeah, give me one subject. I could talk for hours on one thing. And, you know, it's just like, what do you want? I have a catalog of stories. I think 2020, like how it just got taken away, I think it was kind of a good thing, though. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think it matured us. It made us see a different perspective on life. It humbled us. It let us cherish the things that we used to have and what we currently have. This COVID thing, this pandemic, I see some people that really, you know, they're built with fear. I know people that don't even leave their houses.
Mm-hmm.
There's other people that that just, you know, they're depressed by it. But then I like to follow the people like, wow, you really did something with your time here. You're really thriving. You're really doing. So you want to gravitate. Now that I have this extra time, now that I'm not spending this money, you know, what am I going to do with myself to elevate? Just work on your mindset. Mm-hmm. Once you program your mindset to do something and where you want to be at, considering that we're not doing the same habits we used to anymore, spending the time and money, it's great. I think it's a blessing in disguise, quite frankly.
Let me add too that, you know, having the time, if you know, if you are home or if you do have the time, I know Michelle, you know, your schedule is completely booked.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if there's ever a time to learn something new,
yeah,
like Michelle, like she's doing here's the thing about Michelle. So I've known Michelle for a long time too. And Michelle's never done radio, any kind of entertainment media, ever. Okay.
Never.
And the moment I put her behind a mic,
it's like she's been doing it for years. You're a veteran in the game.
That's what everybody says. Yeah. I get really good feedback. I love that. And Freddie asked me, like, how? And I, you know what I think it is? I told him that I think it's all the public speaking that I've had to do and training and to have a connection, a really good connection with someone. Like if it was somebody that I didn't know, I don't know if I would do as well. But because we've known each other for so long, we know like our facial expressions, our body language, our movement, and kind of like when you give me that look, you're like cut it off or keep going or that, or I could see the excitement or the we know when to stop. It's a good vibe, you know, when once we learn how to work together. And which was really easy for us. It just seemed like it kind of flowed, you know?
This idea is because me and Michelle were at the Beetlejuice bar in Hollywood and we were six drink in. You know how, Lewis, when we would be at a party all around us, but somehow you and I just got into a conversation where we just zoomed in together.
It felt like no one else was there. We could hear this background noise.
That's how me and Michelle were.
And just us.
I tell you, I miss that.
It was like we were the only people in there.
Yeah, yeah. I miss the times that we could go into a bar. We had that night. We're just sitting down. We think of these ideas, and we're implementing all kinds of things. And it's like you're in the zone. And then what happens was we create this energy. where we're so in the zone that people around us are wondering, what are those guys talking about?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And what are they about? And they want to come hang out with us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do miss that. I miss those times where you just sit down and zone mm-hmm. out.
I don't even know how to explain it, but it was meant to happen at that moment in time. That it was our time to talk about this, to make it happen, to plan it.
We were coming from a Morrissey concert at the Hollywood Bowl. We're now hanging out together, me and her, and we start talking and sharing ideas. And keep in mind, you know, at this point in my life, I'm hanging out with exactly who I want to hang out with, mm-hmm. and nothing more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's it. And I was so appreciative of our time, but our conversation was, you know, we should do a podcast. How many times do people say that, though? A lot, right?
A lot, all day.
But look at us now.
I know, we were like, no, really. Like, I said, no, really. Yeah. Not, man, maybe we should one day. No, let's start it now.
Lewis, before we end the podcast, I wanted to put your name out there, promote you. And is there anything that you would like just put out there before we end the podcast? Your company or your title or your social, whatever you want to do.
Well, if you're looking for DJ Lewis Love, I'm there. I'm there. You go to my IG at DJ Lewis Love. If you're looking for the mortgage professional during the day, that's a whole different guy. That guy's awesome. I really like the guy. You can reach him. He's at American Financial Network in Rancho Cucamonga, the Lewis Vasquez team. You can reach him at 909-957-8565. And that's his direct cell phone number.
That is your. That's his real number.
I think I met that guy once.
Yeah, I like the guy.
Maybe once.
You just gave your phone number.
I gave my number out on the radio many times. Remember?
Yeah. He's gonna get all these random calls now. Okay.
Yeah. Man. Well, you know, this is first time I've seen Lewis in quite a while because it's been the pandemic. But he rolled in with a new scent, a new tie, and you know the cameras are getting this. Can we give it up because he's sporting a Rolex?
He is.
Come on. Oh, come on.
It's a nice one, too.
Thank you.
Look at
that. I seen it.
I seen it.
All right. Well, we're marking it down during phase two of the COVID pandemic in 2021. And a second time on Radio Flyer. Once again, give it up for Lewis Love.
Hey, thank you guys for having me, man. I hope to be back, man. We're going
to
make some more cameos here.
Of course.
We have too many stories, huh?
Too many stories. Too many stories and adventures. And if we're going to have some video too. We might as well do some videos out in the world.
Well, look, the way I look at it is, you know, you and I did so much together.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just tell? We have so much to tell.
So much to tell, yeah. Just put it on the record.
Yeah. For the record.
Yeah, for the record, on the record, for the record, yeah.
All right, that's it. That was fun. I told you, Lewis, was a fun time. Michelle Zuno, who is looking phenomenal with the beautiful, is it kind of a wavy hair?
Yeah, it's a newer hairstyle. Yep, sure. Right.
This is Radio Flyer. My name is Freddie Rivera. A shout out to our guest, Lewis Love. Michelle Zuno is on the blue mic, and Radio Flyer can be heard on every platform that plays podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. And now we're on YouTube.
Woohoo! Woo! Check out our YouTube channel.
After I edit this thing, it might take me like 4 months to edit it, but it'll be up. It'll be up. What is our YouTube? It's youtube.com/Freddie Rivera Jr. And I guess that's it. Is that a wrap?
That's all we got.
You want to close this show out because it's your show?
Well, everybody, America has been great. And God bless America. And you have been tuned in to the Love Connection.